Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Please take your seats quickly, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Tennis Weekly with Joel and Kim, sponsored by DownloadTennis.com. On today's Billie Jean King Cup Day 1 catch-up.
Australia sinks Slovakia.
Great Britain succumb to Kazakhstan.
And Tennis Weekly gets a press conference shout-out.
Chris, today is the 8th of November and we are here to catch up on day one of the Billie Jean King Cup Finals in Glasgow. We've had two fantastic ties today, Australia versus Slovakia in the day session, and we've just got back from Kazakhstan versus Great Britain. I know I've just said that we are recording on the 7th of November, but we're going to be recording on the 7th and 8th of November because I feel like, as always, like Prague last year, Billie Jean King Cup, it always goes late, matches always go long, and we've had a pretty full-on day, haven't we?
It has been all go, from 10 a.m. until the last leaving of the media bus at 11 p.m. It's been 11 hours of tennis.
I know.
And it's tennis journalism.
It's unbelievable. I know, we've had some great seats, we've had some great matches, singles, doubles. I mean, of course, we were in Prague last year for the event, and I was really curious to see, you know, first time in Glasgow, you know, great for us, you know, cheeky little flight up from London, but what were the kind of first impressions before we get into the matches, kind of first impressions walking into the arena? How did it compare for you to Prague last year?
With not the cheekiest flight from Copenhagen to Edinburgh and then a coach transfer to Glasgow. So I cannot say that it was the easiest, but in terms of getting here...
Hey, try saying that to the people who've come from Fort Worth to Glasgow.
And I think some Australians might have been there all the way from Australia today, so I think I should not be complaining, but we had a simple transfer over. I was very impressed with the nature of the setup this year. I think the biggest difference for me is that Court 1 and Centre Court, you can walk between them. They're very close. The fan experience is very... much together, and last year we were denied access to Court 1.
I didn't even know where Court 1 was, to be honest. It was like across the road, you needed a separate ticket. Yeah, it was all very confusing, whereas here it's a little bit for me like the Australian Open, like the Rod Laver and I think is it Margaret Court or Hisense. Yeah, they're like literally just across the galley, aren't they?
Yeah, it was. I really liked that. I liked the fact that we were able to have a little peek. Although Court 1 was not in action today, we did see some of the teams warming up, and it's actually a velodrome, which they've adapted.
It's quite cool, isn't it? I didn't realise that, but it's quite an interesting tennis venue. I can't wait. We're going to see some tennis, proper tennis, on there tomorrow, but it wasn't in action today. But to see it, inside of velodromes, really, really unique setup, isn't it?
Super unique, and I think it will be a bit of a challenge for us going between both. I think we'll have to, maybe we'll split up tomorrow. It could be the case that you take Belgium, Slovakia, and I'll take Italy.
Are we drawing lots for that? Or is your heart set on one or the other?
I need to see Bencic Trevisan. That is an absolute must for me.
You kept talking to me earlier, or we kept debating, didn't we, about Trevisan getting to the
semi-finals of the Roland Garros after making a quarter-final before.
I think some people unfairly brand her. Is she the worst ever semi-finalist at a Grand Slam?
You might have called her that for the quarter-final previously, so you probably have to stick to your word on that one.
Yeah.
But I'm sure other people have flipped the net previously.
Tomorrow.
Exactly.
But I mean, we did have tennis today, and we're going to get on to the first tie, Australia versus Slovakia, in a bit. But of course, we've got to start with the tie we've just had, Great Britain versus Kazakhstan. Now, unfortunately, Kazakhstan did come out winners. They won 2-1. They won both of the singles matches. So they were already kind of 2-0 up. the atmosphere, yeah, was a little bit kind of muted, not from the Kazakhstanis, but from everyone else. But yeah, it was a slightly kind of disappointed kind of way to, I think, kick off GB getting there. But before we get into that, what was great was, you know, we've been in the press conferences, we've been asking all the players, you know, different questions about their matches. The podcast got a shout out.
It did indeed. This was unprecedented in a press conference, I must say. But we were in the final press
conference.
After the doubles had finished of the GB versus Kazakhstan match. And we put a question to the girls who just played, Alicia Barnett and Olivia Nichols. And Olivia responded to the question before answering the question fully, saying, could you just give start by saying her best friend Amy listened to the podcast and just wants to give her a shout out. So Amy, this is your shout out.
Listening, I'm hoping you're listening.
Exactly.
Otherwise, this is all for nothing. But yeah, extra special shout out for you. Yeah, it gave us a warm, fuzzy feeling when we were asking the questions. And to be fair, I mean, let's start with Nichols and Barnett, because they would have definitely had a warm, fuzzy feeling walking off the court. I mean, they probably would have had a warm, fuzzy feeling walking onto the court, because it was their Billie Jean King
Cup. Billie Jean King Cup. Her name's on the trophy.
Billie Jean King Cup debut. They've had a cracking season. They got to the final in Lyon, the 250 earlier on. I think that was their WTA Tour debut. They got to the final. They've only been playing for like less than a couple of years. So for them to come onto the court, face Rybakina, Wimbledon champion, and Danilova, who is one of the players who's come from Fort Worth, so a very handy doubles player, to get that win in straight sets, you know, that's a dream debut, isn't it?
I mean, it really is. I think the only thing that kind of takes away from the dream debut is obviously the fact that it was a dead rubber in this tie, but the nature of the competition is that rubbers do come into it in terms of...
Oh, each I hope they do. Thing.
Wow, let's hope it gets interesting. Otherwise, that's something we have to talk about in terms of the Brits might be out before they play their next match. But in terms of this match, I was very impressed. I think it really did make the point that players who know what each other are going to do, that really helps in these clutch situations. And I think we've seen that before where you put two singles players together or a singles player and a doubles player and they don't know exactly what they're going to do. And obviously when you look at the talent level on the court, taking nothing away from Alicia and Olivia, but I mean, we've got a world number 11 in doubles and we've got the Wimbledon champion, you'd think that the talent level from them would get them through it. And really proficient, really, really great doubles. And some of the volleying was spectacular. I think they rose to the occasion.
Yeah.
Amazingly well, they handled it well, they were pumped up, and I'd say that tie had the best atmosphere of any of them today, and it was a dead rubber.
Well, I think what was interesting was they were remonstrating with the crowd to get them involved, and they were feeding off that energy, I think a little bit more so than we saw, I think, from Harriet Dart and Katie Balter. I don't think there was necessarily as much maybe interaction with the crowd, and you can tell that they were absolutely kind of reveling in the situation. And you know, for me, as you said, you know, these, although in theory it was a dead rubber, technically, you know, GB had already lost the tie, it could come down to it. And you know, the Kazakhstan team went out there to win, and you know, for Barnett and Nichols to get that done in straight sets, the level that they showed, I think the chemistry that they showed really kind of helped, you know, with their positioning on court. I was really impressed specifically with their transition from the back of the court to the front of the court. I think for me that really gave them the edge, and it might have even taken you know, Rybakina and Danilina by surprise. I can't imagine they would have known much about the pair, but certainly by the end of it they were left kind of with a lot of questions to answer.
Yeah, and we put the question to Ann Kiopathong afterwards in terms of selection for this match. The question that we had was around, you know, there's been a lot of focus on Davis Cup. We've seen and heard a lot from Dan Evans about the fact that he does think that top singles players are at times better suited and should be playing in those doubles rubbers. And so what was really interesting was when I asked the question to Anne today, that she did say that it is a case-by-case basis. But today, they always knew they were going to put Barnett and Nichols in this one because they thought Rybakina and... Danilina, they had not seen much of them. You know, they're kind of an unknown quantity to them, and it felt like putting a different sort of player, a double specialist, serves they haven't had a look at practicing returning, because by the end of that Rybakina match, she was pretty dialed into Harriet Dart's game. And I think the surprise package proved to be really important, yeah. especially in straight sets. It's so important when it comes to yeah. getting that rubber.
I mean, it's interesting you talk about, because, you know, they are doubles specialists, and as a result of that, you have to take both of them on. Mm. And, you know, they were brought in very last minute.
6 days ago.
Yeah, 6 days
after
ago.
After Raducanu,
you know, dropped out. So if that hadn't happened, I mean, the point I'm getting to is, are doubles specialists in this format, are they a bit of a luxury because of that? And you might want to prefer having a singles player. And as a result of that, it feels like, you know, maybe like the best a lot of teams can hope for is one double specialist with one good singles player, where actually, you know, we've seen today, actually having two double specialists really can pay, you know, pay your dues on the court.
I do agree. I think last year we saw an awful lot of strange combinations, which didn't necessarily work. And I think when you do have those players who don't play doubles week in, week out, like Rybakina, like, it's surprising that she played this match, for some people might think, considering they'd already won the tie, but she needs the doubles practice because these two have not played together before. So I think having the luxury of players who don't have to have as much court time as possible, who already know what each other are going to do, means in those clutch moments, they've been there before, they don't have to have any confusion. And a couple of times we did see players slightly surprised by some of the moves people made, because you don't have that. It's more almost a they can be on autopilot for certain moves and patterns of play that they have.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll get on to the singles results, because although, you know, it was a very good win for Barnett and Nichols, and they were, you know, absolutely chuffed to bits, and so they should be. It was disappointment in the singles for the Brits, Katie Balter and Harriet Dar losing. Balter lost in three sets to Yulia Putintseva. That was the first tie, 4-6, 6-3, 6-2 to Putintseva. And then Rybakina beat Harriet Dar 6-1, 6-4. I mean, let's start with Rybakina, because, you know, she was on double duty. She played singles and doubles, and she wanted to get to bed as quick as possible, didn't she? She was very clear in the press conference afterwards. She was like, as soon as she sat down, she was like, make it quick.
And quick it was. It was almost as quick as her first set.
I was going to say, well, yes. I mean, the Rybakina dart match, it's a hard matchup for Harriet Dart. You felt like she was, I think in the press conference afterwards, she said she felt she did play well. But at the same time, it was very, for Rybakina, she was able to just handle what was being thrown at her. And, you know, for me, I think, you know, I was speaking to you whilst, you know, this match was going on, and I can see how Harriet Dart can put a really good performance together against someone like a Daria Kasatkina, when it isn't necessarily a power game and it's more on variety and moving your player across the, you know, across the court, and, you know, you're getting into these kind of extended rallies. But against a player like Rybakina, Dart at times was, I felt like, overwhelmed by the power and the aggression that Rybakina beholds. And yes, there are times when unforced errors do creep into Rybakina's game, and that is an opportunity for our opponent. But I certainly felt with this performance today, it was more like the Wimbledon champion, I think, that we saw, you know, in those 2 weeks in the summer.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. I think Harriet, she made it clear in press, she didn't think she played a bad match at all.
No.
She was hit off the court in the first set. Rybakina started very quickly. She was just hitting winners for fun. And then I'd say in the second set, Rybakina did go up a break. And she said that she played, like, Dart played well, but she did have a loss of concentration. And I would say the 6-4 was slightly generous to Dart, because if Rybakina had kept that going, it would have been a lot quicker. But having said that, if Dart, a couple of points here and there, it's very easy to see how a big hitter, if you go off the boil, it can go off the boil quite quickly. So at times in that second set, we thought maybe it would go to be a bit closer.
Yeah. There was like a mini fight back, wasn't
there?
Yeah,
definitely.
She definitely did
herself justice. But it was more, the first match of the day was definitely more of a fight.
I think if we're looking back on that tie and where, you know, there could have been an opportunity for GB to win the tie, we needed to get off on the right foot. And to an extent, you know, we did. Katie Balter had a great, you know, first set, you know, winning it 6-4 against Putintseva. But then Putintseva sort of reeled her in. Balter talked about in her press conference that Putintseva changed her tactics, and actually she was playing to her advantages a little bit more in that first set before changing it up, and it almost felt a little bit like Balter wasn't able to adapt or really know kind of what to do, and as a result kind of Putintseva took over. But talking about that first set though, I mean, to me, I was like, where has this Katie Balter been? Because we see her, and to me, she is very much a big game player. I think she rises to the occasion at Wimbledon. I still remember that match she lost to Sabalenka. I think we were both there.
We
were both there for it, courtside, and she played fantastic match. Naomi Osaka, that first set she won in... where was it?
It was Melbourne 1.
Yeah. So, like, she's had... She can put great passages of play together, and I feel like it's always the consistency that always sort of lets her down, and there's always going to be that drop that her opponent maybe senses and is waiting for that moment to pounce.
Yeah, I think we have to mention she had a great grass court season again, where she had some great wins over Pliskova. She is able
Birmingham
to...
Birmingham quarterfinal.
Exactly, she's able to pull together some really great results, but I think outside of some of those moments where there is the home support or a big stage, she doesn't necessarily always bring the best out of her ability. And I think today I thought she might be able to. I think she did in sort of that first set.
I mean, she's got a great record. I didn't realise how good her record was.
Well, she has only lost twice, and it's both to Putintseva, which is quite surprising, really, considering she's only played her three times. Two of them happened to be in Billie Jean King Cup. But I think she made it clear in the press conference she wasn't injured. A lot of people asked about that in terms of the strapping that she had. And they were always worried about her shoulder. But no, she said it was just she didn't serve how she needed to. And if you look at some of the numbers, her serve for the match was down at 57% of first serves and only winning 64% of them. Whereas if you look at the third set for Putintseva, first serve was 81%, winning 82%. So Putintseva's numbers went up. And Katie Balter started to retreat a little bit from her game plan of going for the winners. She wasn't trusting her shots.
No, she wasn't.
With the variety that was being given. And I think it was very surprising that Katie Balter came in and was like, I know exactly what happened, but she obviously wasn't able to do anything to rectify it. So that would have been the question I would have put to her if we'd have asked one in that press conference. But I think for her, there's a missed opportunity there. But overall, I mean, it's just a shame that all of the matches, because there were two really, really great matches. And I think that the Rybakina one we always thought would probably be a step too far. But a great first showing, I would say, considering they are without Emma Raducanu.
Yeah, well, exactly. But having said that, I mean, if Raducanu was still there, would we have had Barnett and Nichols, make their debut? There's all these, all these questions. But I think, from a GB point of view, it was great for them to get a tie, because the format of this event,
it is brutal.
It's brutal. Three teams in one group. It generally can come down to...
It can be over before it starts.
Yeah, it's crazy. And you don't obviously want to start with a 3-0 loss. So just to get a tie on the board, I think was, fantastic achievement. And I was always curious by the fact that, GB were coming into this off, losing in qualification. And for me, that made me think, do they feel this extra pressure or the feeling that they need to kind of prove themselves and or not even kind of get embarrassed, I think, by what is a quality field of nations here. And I certainly think with this result against a very game Kazakhstan side, they've shown that they can mix it. But there's still that sort of Raducanu factor of, are we at full strength? Are we not? But I think it was a decent performance overall.
Yeah, I think it's a shame that the narrative is the way that it will be, that we're in the Harriet Dart press conference and the match is over. The headline is done. GB lose on home soil. Yeah. They didn't qualify. And you can write that story, but I don't really think that's representative of the matches that we saw and the level that they brought, because having said that, if Katie Balter was able to maintain the level across two sets, for example, and Putintseva hadn't mixed it up, then this could have been a win. And that's the thing that I think with all of these matches, anyone can win, anyone can lose. When you play for your country, your first tie ever, you come home with a famous victory. So it's all to play for, and we'll see how Spain handle the pressure against Kazakhstan tomorrow.
We'll see how Spain handle the pressure and how they handle the Kazakhstan drum.
Oof.
The Kazakhstan drum in the crowd. I have to give the winning edge to the Kazakhstan kind of...
Felt like we were in Astana,
ultras.
Didn't we? Yeah,
I know.
Where's Djokovic? Where's Djokovic
Medvedev? Yeah, exactly. It was... I mean, they were great. They brought a lot of atmosphere. I'd say a little bit more maybe than the British fans. And again, I think, I look at kind of how... the body language of Barnett and Nichols versus Dart and Balter. And certainly I think they engaged with the fans a lot more, and maybe that's what helped you know, give them a little bit of an extra spark. But certainly the Kazakhstan created that, you know, fans created that atmosphere that I think, again, helped their team.
For sure. And I think that's something that the Australians always give 100%. And we spoke to Tomjanovic today, and when she actually did it on court interview, said the same thing. It's the best week of the year for them. And I think that's something that is so true. I think that with the Brits, it's true as well. And I think that's why Barnett and Nichols were so
pleased
to be there.
That's because Tomjanovic is hearing me scream from the, you know, from like row Z. Come on, Tomjanovic.
I didn't hear that. I'm not sure. I think in the press area, we were very quiet. We did not make a single noise. Wow. We are bipartisan at all times. But I think that they always bring a great atmosphere to the court, the Australians.
And colourful. They definitely bring a colourful atmosphere.
They are very colourful.
You don't like the Tomjanovic outfit, do you? I love how they embrace the green and gold.
I just think
you're
that
not sure.
If you're, I don't like an off colour. So I know what the correct colours are from the flag and what people should be wearing. Yeah. And it was a little bit of some design liberties were taken in the colour palette there.
Fine. Well, it didn't affect the result for Australia because they defeated Slovakia 2-1. And again, we had two singles victories for Australia. Storm Sanders, and for me, a little bit of an upset against Victoria Kuzmova, 6-4, 6-3. And then we had Alia Tomjanovic, you know, has to be said, absolutely steamroll Shmidlova, 6-1, 6-2. Before Kuzmova and Mihalikova defeated Perez and Storm Sanders. I thought actually it could have been an Australian clean sweep because I think they're quite strong in the doubles, given, again, they've got some double specialists there who have very, very good pedigree. But yeah, what did you kind of make of Australia, and you know, do you think they're a force to be reckoned with? Because when we were there watching, one of the commentators said, the number one ranked team in the world, which took me back a little bit. Is that right?
That is correct. I think that might be partly because Russia are excluded from that ranking.
Yes.
And
they have Storm Sanders in their team.
They have Storm Sanders in their team, and they did win it the year, or they got to the final the year before. So they've got some good results when it was against France. I think, was that 2019, a few years ago? So they have had some good results. I think the rankings when it comes to these tournaments is almost irrelevant if your top players aren't playing, and at the time probably Ash Barty was someone who was on the card. So no, I think last year they were the underdogs. They had the same team. It was Tomjanovic and Storm Sanders. They were down Gavrilova, but Storm Sanders had a great win over Mertens last year. In fact, all of the players who were on court all were there last year, so it's good to see that they all got picked and they're all still performing well.
Because they spoke about team spirit in the I think it was Tomjanovic speak about team spirit in their press conference. And it is, I think, a factor. And you can certainly see that, I think, in the Australian team, because there is that continuity, there is that consistency, they know each other's game, and you know, they really are kind of there as a group and as a team. And I love seeing that, and I think that's what I think is great actually about kind of these team events and seeing all those individuals come together.
Yeah, and I think it's great for Tomjanovic after the season that she's had, a breakout season, career high ranking, two Grand Slam quarterfinals. And she's playing great tennis. I mean, a 6-1, 6-2. She had a really tough match last year against Šašković, and she wasn't the number one in the way that she is now for Australia. So being able to come out and have a bit of a statement win like this, I think is something that's really important and representative of her season. And that's great. And Storm, not the best singles experience so far this year, but put her in an Australian jersey. And
I know, because they don't have... Because Gavrilova is injured. And so Storm Sanders was on double duty for Australia, and we were sort of thinking, you know, is she the secret weapon of Australia? Because she had a very good win against Kuzmova, which I would have said Kuzmova is the better singles.
Would have the edge.
Yeah, was the better singles player. But then she did, and I was a little bit surprised she lost in the doubles. But certainly for me, if Australia are going to perform well in this tournament, I think it certainly helps if Storm Sanders is firing on a singles court, which... For me is the biggest kind of question, I think, going forward for them as a team.
I think we learnt last year the number two singles is so important and getting that right and picking the right players for that. The number one singles, there's not really much you can do about that if you're the number one ranked player that you're going to play each other.
Tomjanovic had one of her best, if not her best season.
It was her best season, yeah. So I think that makes sense in the matchup. So it's the one where you can sometimes play around with it a bit more is that number two single. So good decision from Melissa Mollock. She really backed Storm. There were many Storm jokes that were made from the very, very loud.
No Priscilla MC. Hahn and no Sam Stosur.
Sam Stosur's there. I was her 19th year. I know, representing her country.
I was devastated she's not made it out onto the doubles court, but it is crazy. 19th year. It just shows, I think, the camaraderie they have, that, you know, players just want to stay involved as long as possible. And, you know, to have someone with the experience of Sam Stosur in your team is probably a very good, even if maybe she's not going to get onto the court, has this wealth of experience to help.
I'd have played her today.
Oh, really?
She's had some great doubles success.
Who would you have put her with?
Storm, 100%. I think Adam Perez was the weak link on court today. Okay. But
interesting.
I was going to say, shall we look ahead to tomorrow's action?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we do have...
Jam-packed.
I know, because we do have court one. We do have court one.
Both courts. We have four ties
The Velodrome
tomorrow.
Court. I know it's called court one. I'm just going to call it the Velodrome court. And then we've got
Bring your
court.
Bike.
Bring your
bike.
Shall
we bike. Cycle to the Emirates?
Oh my God, shall we?
A warm down.
Yes. So on centre court tomorrow, we've got Switzerland versus Italy. And then we've got USA versus Poland. And then on court one, we've got Slovakia versus Belgium, Spain versus Kazakhstan. So quite a quick turnaround for Kazakhstan. Probably why right back in press conference was like, make it quick. Where are your eyes looking to tomorrow? Are you Trevisan, Teichmann, Bencic?
Well, I think I'm going to split my time. I think I will be on centre court for the morning match. And then all eyes will be on court one. I have to say it because I need to know how GB is going to do. Because I also need to get that question in to Rybakina, which I didn't manage to get in today, about how's her doubles play?
How disappointed is she about not playing with Emma Raducanu at Washington?
I mean, that was
Dmitry Tursunov's like master plan.
That was
going to
happen. But having said that, I think I will be in the evening session, just running between the two, going from the USA. If Taylor Townsend's on a court, I'm going to be there. We'll have to see. But where are you going to be, Joel?
Well, I think for me, the big question on everyone's lips is Elise Mertens going to turn up for Belgium? Where is she? Is she on a flight at the moment? Is she?
I think she might be on a flight.
Is she going to be on, you know, in
double
the
duty? We need her. Double duty.
Is she going to be asleep? She got jet lag. Because she was in the WTA end of season final in the doubles, defeated
Krejcikova and Siniakova, the number one seed.
Yes, I know.
In a tie break.
Caught me by surprise. But she'll be riding on a massive high. But I'll be very curious to see how much she is used, given the very, very quick turnaround. I mean, Coco Gauff, I think, has already made that trip. So should
and
see
she's
her in...
voted as well. She said that she'd voted in the midterm. She's been very busy.
I'm curious to see these players who are jumping from Fort Worth to Glasgow.
Jet lag watch.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm curious to see, will any of them get out tomorrow? Will they play tomorrow? Or are they just going to be making up numbers, which seems to be the most popular phrase on the podcast at the moment?
We've learned not to use that phrase.
Yeah, we're not going to use that again. But for me, I think that's what I'm sort of interested in. But I think, Switzerland, Italy... We've got some great singles ties to look forward to and some great action to look forward to as well. So we are going to be back tomorrow for day two. We're going to be wrapping up, as always, all the action. So I hope you can join us for that. But we are going to end this catch up on day one of the Billie Jean King Cup Finals. And I hope you can join us for our day two catch up, which will be out on Thursday the 10th. Of November. We're going to be releasing it in the morning. We'll record the night before, but we will edit and get it up in the morning. I am not that nocturnal, but I hope you can join us for that. But in the meantime, it's goodbye from Chris.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from myself. We'll see you again soon.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.